Forget about the smoke. Forget about the worms. But it's Adonai's presence. And think how hell-like our lives were prior to the presence of Adonai being introduced to us. I truly believe this, that Adonai's presence is introduced to us at the moment of conception. I have no biblical proof, I have no scientific proof, but I know this, if Adonai the Father would send his Son to die on our behalf, and how precious and what worth that the Father has given in each and every one of our lives. And when I contemplate about that, it literally blows my mind that the Father would ever turn to the Son and say, now go and die upon that tree, that execution stake for my image, which is you and I. And there are times we need to just simply pause and reflect of God's love and mercy that's just beyond our comprehension. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I know tomorrow is Father's Day, and traditionally in a lot of congregations there would be a Father's Day's message. But there's a message today that is a type of a Father's Day message. It's from the book of Acts, chapter 7. Here is a young man who has been called into ministry. We first read about Stephen or Stephen. He is a Jewish man who is a Greek-speaking Jew. And we first learn upon him when there is a group of the Messianic community who are Greek-speaking Jews that feel that the widows are being neglected during the times of feasting and the times of them doling out the produce that's part of the Messianic community. And so we see Stephen arise. And it says this is one requirement as the apostles spend time in prayer. And they bring it as a community type of meeting. They bring the Messianic community together. There's both a mixture of Jews that speak Greek and people from many other lands. And those who are Sabras that were born in the land. And their language that they speak in their houses is Hebrew. They understand Greek. They understand all these other languages, but their main tongue is Hebrew. And how the apostles, the emissaries, they say to these elders, choose from among you men who are full of the Ruach and have a good testimony throughout your community, which is our community. And so we just see just a few days or a few months that pass, because they just recently they've celebrated Shavuot, the giving of the Ten Commandments, and also the outpouring of the Spirit of the Living God on the 120. And all these things are taking place. And God is moving upon these deacons, and he's doing his power in his works. And we read about Stephen here in Acts chapter 6. And I know there are many times where there have been men who divided up the scripture in chapters and verses. You know, it helps us find different spots. But one of the things, as you read the scripture, the chapters and the verse numbers at times just kind of fade away. And you meditate on God's word so much that you get to know the story. And so with that, we're going to go back here a little bit into verse 6 here, chapter 6. And beginning at verse 7. So the word of God continued to spread, and the number of the Talmudim in Jerusalem increased rapidly. A large crowd of Kohanim, who were priests, who were becoming obedient to the faith in what? That Yeshua is the promised Messiah. Going forward very quickly. Now Stephen, full of grace and power, performed great miracles and signs among the people. What people? The people of Israel. But opposition arose from the members of the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, composed of Cyrenians, Alexandrians, people from Cilicia and the province of Asia. They argued with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom or the spirit by which he spoke. Underline that in your Bible. He was there all by himself. Kepha, who's Peter, Yohanan, John, or any of the other emissaries weren't standing shoulder to shoulder with him. This man was a gifted teacher of God's word, as the Spirit spoke through him. You and I can be gifted teachers of God's word, as the Spirit of living God breathes the word into our lives and as we apply it and study it daily. The Spirit cannot draw upon what does not already exist. I know there's a phrase popular today. It's very, very secular. It's secular origin of downloading. Excuse me. Think of the years that Stephen faithfully attended his local synagogue and was taught by his local rabbi. And what was the text that they studied? But the Torah. Okay? Now, once did the rabbi bring out the book of Matthew. Why? Because it was not even written yet. Okay? So as we move forward here, we'll see that Stephen used a gift that the Spirit of living God had given to him, but he had applied that gift as a young man by studying the Torah in the local synagogue. And we think sometimes we don't influence other people. So every time when you hear someone come forward and do a Torah reading, think of Stephen. That person has been ordained by God and chosen by God, and the Spirit of the living God will speak through that person. But are you listening? Are you taking notes? Or have you received all from the Spirit, and you're at the point in your life where you don't receive any teaching, a revelation that God is being breathed through your brothers and sisters in Messiah? Learning is an occupation for all believers from the time they're born again to the time that they die and leave this earth that will continue throughout all eternity. Let's move forward now. Verse 11. So they secretly persuaded some of them to allege, the men to allege. We heard him speak blasphemously against Moshe and against God. They stirred up the people as well and as the elders and the Torah teachers. So they came and arrested him. And they led him before the Sanhedrin. There they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the Torah. For we have heard him say that Yeshua from Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs Moshe has handed down to us." Everyone sitting in the Sanhedrin stared at Stephan and saw that his face looked like the face of an angel. Think about that. He's just standing there. He's right in front of the Sanhedrin. And he's a young Messianic believer, a deacon, a representative of the Messianic community. And he knows this because he heard the story from the emissaries that Yeshua himself stood before the Sanhedrin just a few months prior. And the Spirit living God spoke through him. He's drawing upon those stories that the emissaries shared. And that's why he's not walking in fear right now. Because as he's speaking forth the word, and he's debating with these men of the freed synagogue, and now he's going to be speaking to the Sanhedrin, The Spirit of the living God has descended upon him with such great power and might that all fear, he has no fear, but the fear of Adonai. Here's his opportunity to speak to the leaders of the nation of Israel. Who gave him this opportunity? It was the Ruach. Because the Ruach led him every step. As the Spirit of living God was being poured out in him and he was manifesting these gifts of healing that were not from himself, to glorify himself and build his ministry. Now, once we read in the scripture that Stephan said, hey, I got these books to sell. I'll make it contemporary. I have these CDs. I have all these things. Have you seen my podcast? He wasn't about that. He was about building the kingdom of God as God's humble servant. So we have to bring in these all in perspective. As we grow in the Lord, we see who are true servants of the God Most High, who are teachers that the Lord brings in our life to speak in our lives. What are they to do? That is to build us up in our faith in Messiah and then give us the opportunity to launch and walk in the gifts of the Spirit of the living God. If they're not doing that, then they're not true shepherds of God's flock. Let's move forward here. Now let's begin in Acts chapter 7, verse 1. Thank you, Lord, for bringing back my voice. The Kohen HaGadol, who is the high priest, asked, are these accusations true? Stephan said, brothers and fathers, listen to me. Notice that. He's showing them respect. Who are the fathers? Those who are the leaders of the Sanhedrin. And most likely, the rabbi of the freed men of the synagogue. Okay? Brothers, he's addressing everyone that is hearing his voice. Those who have brought false witness against him. He sees them as brothers, walking under deception. His heart is filled with compassion. What is his desire? That they would come to know Messiah Yeshua as he knows him. Let's move forward here. Stephan said, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to Avraham Avinu in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran and said to him, leave your land and your family and go into the land where I will show you. So he left the land of Chasdim and lived in Haran. After his father died, God made him move to this land where you're living now. Remember the accusations? He's teaching against the Torah and the customs of Moshe. Going forward here. He gave him no inheritance. Who's the him? Avraham. He gave him no inheritance in it. The land, not even a space for 1 foot. Yet he promised to give it to him as a possession to his descendants after him. Even though at the time he was childless. When God said to him, was your descendants will be aliens in a foreign land, where they will be in slavery and oppressed for 400 years. I don't know about you, but think of when Avraham heard those words. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-great-great-grandchildren for the next 400 years shall be oppressed and live in slavery. Abba, Father God, what are you doing? But Abraham knew to trust Abba, Father God, because he knew that his word was pure and true. And if Abba, Father God allows oppression in our lives, we're not to fear, because God gives us the grace to endure that. Let's go forward now. Verse 7. But I, who's the I here? Abba, Father God, will judge the nation that enslaves them. God said, and afterwards they will leave and worship me in this place. Fulfillment. Undeniable fulfillment. Going forward. And he gave him the Brit Milah, the circumcision, the sign of circumcision, the covenant for every male at the age of 8 days. His father takes him and does the Brit Milah. That son becomes a son of the covenant with Adonai. So he became the father of Yitzhak, and he did this Brit Milah on the 8th day. And Yitzhak became the father of Yaakov, and Yaakov became the father of the 12 patriarchs. Think of the time that Stephen spent in the synagogue. And as he heard the Shemesh, the servant being called forward to take out the scrolls from the ark and then place it, and then the unrolling of the scrolls and the assigned Torah reading for that day. Day after day, and especially on Shabbat, had time to study the Torah. How these seeds of the Torah had been planted into his heart, so that one day when someone would give a false accusation against him, he would be able to share the Torah, that living life tree in his life, to anyone that profaned the word of Adonai and falsely accused him of speaking against God's Torah. Let's move forward. Now the patriarchs grew jealous of Joseph, and sold him into slavery in Egypt. But Adonai was with him. The presence of Adonai. I could just, in my mind, feel the presence of the Ruach touching Stephan on his shoulders and say, don't be afraid. I'm here with you. Just as I was with Joseph. Betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery. Goes and lives in Potiphar's house, falsely accused, thrown into prison, receives dreams from others. He interprets the dreams. One is put to death, the other is reestablished, but Yosef is forgotten until the dreams come and trouble Pharaoh. And then the memory is brought back to that servant of Pharaoh. And immediately they send for Yosef. And God changes everything in Yosef's life. Going forward now. He rescued him from all his troubles and gave him favor with the wisdom before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who appointed him chief administrator over Egypt and over all his household. Now there came a famine that caused much suffering throughout Egypt and Canaan. But when Yaakov heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there the first time. The second time, Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers, and Yosef's family became known to Pharaoh. Yosef then sent for his father Yaakov and all his relatives, 75 people. And Yaakov went down to Egypt, and there he died, as did our ancestors. Their bodies were removed to Shechem and buried in the tomb Avraham had bought from the family of Hamor in Shechem for a certain sum of money. And at the time drew near for the fulfillment of the promise God made to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt increased greatly, until there arose another king over Egypt who had no knowledge of Yosef. And what have the Jewish people been to the nations? A light and a door to Abba, Father God. Moving forward. With cruel cunning, this man forced our fathers to put their newborn babies outside their homes so that they would not survive. When I first read that as a Jewish believer in the book of Acts, I got so angry, I closed my Bible and I walked away. And I cried for a while. Innocence. Created in the image likeness of God. And think of the fathers. A threat of their own lives, their wives, and their children to be put to the sword if they did not simply put that newborn son outside. The guilt and the horror of those fathers and the memory. Let's move forward. It was then that Moshe was born. He was beautiful in God's sight. For 3 months, he was reared in his father's house. And when he was put out of his home, just like all the other boys, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. God's grace and provision. See, God could have simply judged Pharaoh's daughter too. But he gave her an opportunity. He gave her a compassionate heart that she would scoop up this child and raise it as her own son. Thus, allowing the presence of Adonai to return to Pharaoh's house. The testimony of who the one true God was. Going forward here. So Moshe was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and became both powerful speaker and a man of action. Think about that. That was God's provision for him. Going forward. But when he was 40 years old, the thought came to him to visit his brothers. Think about that. For 40 years. He was so wrapped up in his own life. But then the Spirit of the living God spoke to his heart. He went to go and see his own people. Let's move forward here. His own brothers, the people of Israel. On seeing one of them being mistreated, he went to his defense and took revenge by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed his brothers would understand. God was using him to rescue them. But he didn't understand. Why? Because that wasn't the Father's will. He had part of God's plan and provision, but he tried to do it in and of himself. He let his anger rage within him. And if you study the life of Moshe, he had anger issues. What caused him not to enter into the land? He was told to speak to the rock, but he struck it. Let's move forward. Verse 26. When he appeared the next day, they were fighting and tried to make peace with them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" And the one mistreating his fellow pushed Moshe away and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? You want to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" On hearing this, Moses fled the country and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And after 40 more years, an angel appeared to him in the desert near Mount Sinai in flames of a burning thorn bush. So think about this. There was a time there where he was into his own life and the Spirit of the living God visited him, put the thought in his idea, in his mind to go and visit his brothers, okay? And he goes and he does sing out of his own flesh. Anyone does ministry out of their own flesh learns a lesson. It stinks because it's all about you. You're not allowing the Spirit of the living God to flow. and nothing becomes of it. No fruit, no seeds to be planted, nothing becomes of it. Fast forwarding from the time that he killed that Egyptian, 40 years later, and there are people today that say they can go be transported into the heavens at a moment's notice right now. But here we see in the scripture how God dealt with Moses. How about Father Abraham? Was there prayers? Was there sacrifices going on? Absolutely. But when you count how many times the divine presence of Adonai was on earth with Abraham, there were many years in between. Many years. And those years are needed. Those are dry times. Places in the wilderness where the Lord reveals our heart as it is. We need those times, and times are refreshing. Let's move forward then. After 40 more years, an angel appeared to him in the desert near Mount Sinai in the flames of a burning thorn bush. Who is that angel? But the angel of Adonai, who I believe is Yeshua, a theophany. When Moses saw this, he was amazed at the sight. And he approached to get a better look. And there came the voice of Adonai. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. But Moshe trembled with fear, and he didn't dare look. You'll hear testimonies today who are believers who are transported in the very literal presence of Abba, Father God. And they claim to have conversation with him. But you know what's amazing? Yeshua, when he was on earth, he said this, no one has seen the Father but me. Are we going to follow what the scriptures say? Or are we going to follow these new revelations of people who puff themselves up and draw people after them? Stephen, as we look at his life, he wasn't into drawing people to him, saying, well, I'm going to start a brand new Greek-speaking Jewish Messianic congregation over here. He never attempted to do it because it wasn't the will of the Father. Let's move forward now, quickly. And then I said to him, take off your sandals because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have clearly seen how my people are being oppressed in Egypt. Notice that. Those are Abba, Father God's people. The miraculous birth of Yitzhak was a miracle of Adonai. Going forward, I've heard their cry and I've come down to rescue them. Who's going to do the rescuing? Not Moshe, but Adonai. Who's empowering Moshe to be his representative, along with his brother, Aaron. Let's move forward. And now I will send you to Egypt. He's about to be commissioned into ministry, but there's a training process to go through. Let's move forward now. This Moshe, whom they rejected, saying, who made you ruler and judge, is the very one whom God sent as both ruler and ransomer by means of the angel that appeared to him in the thorn bush. This man led them out, performing miracles and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. Every day, walking in the provision and the presence of Adonai, otherwise they would perish. If you look at that perspective, your life and my life, walking in the presence of Adonai and his provision is no different. We're walking the wilderness now. This earth is not our eternal home. We're sojourners. We're just passing through. Let's move quickly now. This is the Moshe who said to the people of Israel, God will raise up a prophet like me from among your brothers. This is the man who was in the assembly in the wilderness, accompanied by the angel, and had spoken to him at Mount Sinai. By our fathers, the man who was given the living words to pass on to us. But our fathers did not obey him. On the contrary, they rejected him and in their hearts turned to Egypt, saying to Aharon, Aaron, make us some gods to lead us, because this Moshe who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. That was when they made an idol. And what did Aaron say? I just simply threw this in the fire, and this is what jumped out. That's not true. In the shape of a calf, and offered sacrifice to it, and held a celebration in honor of what they had made with their own hands. There are Christians and Messianic believers today who have made a Jesus, a Yeshua, with their own hands, and are receiving revelation from this Yeshua today that's not based on the Bible. Rabbi, how can you say that? It's going on now. And these individuals will not want to share with you what is written in God's word, but they want to share with you these new revelations that they've received from this brand new Jesus, who they've created with their own hands and minds and hearts. Let's move forward quickly. So God turned them away from them and gave them over to worship the stars. Where is that found? In Jeremiah. I'll get into that more deeper. This is part one of this message. We'll go on each scripture and see where it's founded in the Tanakh. As had been written in the book of the prophets, the people of Israel, it was not to me that you offered slaughtered animals and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness. No, you carried the tent of Molech and the star of your god, Raphan, the idols you made so that you could worship them. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babel. That's Jeremiah 19:13. Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness. It had been just as God, who spoke to Moshe, had ordered it to be made, according to the pattern Moshe had seen, a revelation of the tabernacle, the Mishkan in the heavens, where Yeshua brought his blood and placed it upon that altar. Our eternal high priest, going forward very quickly. Later on, our fathers who had received it brought it in with Joshua, when he took the land away from the nations that God drove out before them. So it was until the days of David, he enjoyed God's favor and asked if he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Yaakov. And Shlomo, who is Solomon, did build him a house. But Ha'elyon does not live in places made by hand. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne, says Adonai, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house could you build for me? What kind of place could you devise for my rest? His shalom. Didn't I myself make all things? Stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You continually oppose the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God. You do the same things your fathers did. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who told in advance about the coming of the Tzaddik, the righteous one, the Mashiach, the Messiah. And now you have become his betrayers and murderers. The Sanhedrin he's addressing now. Did they put Yeshua to death? No, it was the Romans. But who instigated it? Their jealousy. Just as the jealousy that was in the hearts of Yosef's brothers the patriarchs. If we do not deal with jealousy, what happens to us? We become like Cain, who turned on his brother Abel and had put him to death by his own hands. Going forward here, you who received the Torah as having been delivered by angels, but you do not keep it. Oh my. The Spirit of living God is speaking through Stefan. He's not mincing words. He's not pulling punches. He's sounding just like Yeshua did. He wants to bring them out of their deception. Open their eyes so they may see. Open their ears so they may hear. Think about the accusation of uncircumcised hearts and ears going forward. On hearing these things, they were cut in their hearts. Conviction came. They were distraught because the truth of the Spirit's words was penetrating their hearts. Now they had a decision to make. How beautiful would it have been that they just fell down in repentance and did teshuva. But what does the scripture record? They were cut in their hearts and they ground their teeth at him in a rage. But he, full of the Ruach HaKodesh, think about that. When your enemies are oppressing you, and normally you should be walking in fear and terror, but this man is being led by the Spirit of living God, and he's getting even more bolder because he knows for such a time as this he was born. This man's life has inspired the Messianic community from that day till now and beyond to speak and tell the truth and fear Adonai and love and see your brothers and sisters lost in deception and simply speak the truth and receive the consequences. But in the midst of that, God's grace and mercy are there. So he, being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, looked up to heaven and saw God's Shekinah. Some people pronounce it Shekinah. His literal glory. And what did Moshe desire? From Adonai, show me your glory. How do you see the glory of Adonai? By allowing the Spirit of living God to manifest Messiah in you and change your character. Then we get glimpses of the Shekinah, being transformed in the image and likeness of so-and-so, no, but into the Son, Yeshua. Going quickly now. With Yeshua standing. Think about that when their eyes locked. Yeshua is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he raises up and he's standing. He sees all. He knows all. The Father knows all. Think about the hosts of heaven. And the angels that are cheering. Speak the truth at all times. Yeshua standing at the right hand of God. Look, he exclaimed. Now he's sharing what he sees that none of them can see. I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And at this, they began yelling at the top of their voices so that they wouldn't have to hear him. And with one accord, we heard that once before, have we not, in the book of Acts? See, we can be one accord in deception, or we can be one accord being led by the Spirit of living God. A group can be holy servants unto God, or they become a mob, doing what is right in their own hearts, to their own benefit, because they don't want to lose their status in the community. They rushed at him and they threw him outside the city, beginning to stone him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at the feet of a young man named Shaul. We're just being introduced to someone else. Going forward. As they were stoning him, Stephen called out to God, "Lord Yeshua, receive my spirit." What were the words that Yeshua said to the Father? "I give my spirit to you." Whose example was he following? Yeshua's. Then he kneeled down and he shouted, "Lord," so everyone could hear, "don't hold this sin against them." With that, he died. Weren't they the same words that Yeshua shared when he was on that execution stake? So how are we supposed to live our lives? Being filled with the Ruach, being filled with God's word, and accomplishing all that the Spirit of living God desires us to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord.